And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
All right. I'm just gonna play us in a little bit.
When are you gonna tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
Welcome. Thanks.
This is John. This is Home From Here. We're in new studios, and I'm with the guest who's the reason for the new studios.
I can't wait to hear about this.
Susan Glusica, how you doing?
I'm great. And good. You?
Oh, I'm doing really well. Thanks for making a drive. I appreciate that.
It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. We get together on beautiful days.
We do.
So, yeah. So, just 3-second story, and then I want to hear about you because I'm bored of me. So had you on, and we have something in common.
Yes.
We have an internet troll in common.
I was thinking about that as I drove over. I'm like, mention it or not?
Well, my guy's kind of died off.
Mine too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
But so you had one. He contacted or she contacted where I was and said what
created havoc.
Yeah, said whatever stupid things internet trolls say. Mm-hmm. And our show got pulled. So I put it up myself. And,
I saw that.
And resigned. Because you can't do that. But,
can't.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yours is gone now?
Yeah, mine, you know, you just energize them away.
That worked. Because mine kind of did too.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to go rogue on mine. I just brought him out in the open. I'm like,
cool.
If you show up on the show, you're going to get an email. You're going to hear I'm an asshole. You're going to hear blah, blah, blah. You're going to hear I'm a career criminal. You're going to hear I'm nuts. And you're going to hear Gramercy's probably not even really my daughter. And so, you know, just prep yourself. And once I started doing that, it just kind of went away.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you up to? Talk to me.
Wow. So, well, on
that
the
That water's yours, by the way. If you
thank
need it.
You. No worries. On the way over, as I drove in on this beautiful day, I was thinking, you know, I should use the time wisely. And Women's Prosperity Network has 3 co-founders. They're all sisters. And one of them, Nancy Matthews, has this program that I got back. I don't even remember how long ago, but it was quite some time ago. And that was where actually everything pivoted for me, right? Started to pivot into the expansion mode, right? Like out of the lack and scarcity mindset into the abundance mindset and into expanding into that full self-expression, which is where riches lie, right?
Right.
So on my way over here, I listened to her program, which is The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles in a 30-day program where she does like 5 chapters a week, right? But I have listened to it and implemented it before. And it's always great to touch back on the fundamentals because what's mastery, right?
Right.
But the repeating back. Of fundamentals over time.
Yep.
And I was reminded of
hey, guitar players, that's how you get better. Sorry.
It's the non-sexy part of embodiment, right? Of that next level of beingness, right? So I'd love to know, just before I go into what's next for me, How did the troll and the response of right getting kicked off the show and then resigning get us here?
So you're partly to thank for this.
Okay.
So when we talked the last time and you gave me a book and I thought a lot about what you were saying and I'm like, I do have like limits on the show. And you know, It was a bad fit where I was anyway, I think, because I wanted to expand and they had a different vision for what they – and they're wonderful people. It's not disparaging at all. We just disagree on Susan. And so – or we disagree on what the internet troll said about Susan.
Yes.
I don't think we disagree about Susan even. But so I'm like, okay, what if I just open myself up to the possibility that the show could be what I wanted it to be?
Mm.
And so, and this is really, really weird. So I said, what if I just open myself up to the possibility and let it come to me? I shit you not, 3 days later, I get an email like, hey, John, I heard you left and we have a podcast studio, 3 studios. Nobody's using it. Come take it. And I came over, took a tour, said yes right then and there. And we went from, you know, a room the size of a card table. Now we have 3 studios.
It's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
It is. I've seen pictures, but the experience is really.
Oh, thank you.
It's the next level for
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And now we're videoing. I'm sorry we weren't ready to video you today, but we.
That's awesome. That's good.
We'll do video. Yeah.
Will I get to come back?
Oh, totally.
Another time?
No, because I'm okay. Listener, I would have her on for 2 straight hours and still not go through half. But I'm doing a thing for the Lifted Project, so we got to cut short today. And I felt bad about that.
Oh no, it's absolutely fine. I'm having lunch with a colleague while I'm in Kingston, so I optimized my time. No worries there.
So partially, I thought about what you said, and I'm like, why am I limiting myself? Why don't I just think as you know, and this is probably as big as I want to get, but it just fell into my lap.
Well,
and,
for
and the
now,
landlords are so nice.
But for now, see, because you don't know what's next.
Right.
Only God knows what's next, right?
Right.
So you're in the fullest self-expression for right now, and that's all anybody can ask of each of us, right? So that happened to me when I was doing the financial services practice and thinking I had, you know, totally found my legacy and my life's purpose. And lo and behold, there was a next level there of coaching, of my signature discovery and going into the states of consciousness and how that, you know, dovetailed with financial frequency and being, you know, being, right, the frequency. And I was just listening to, there's a chapter in Science of Getting Rich, which is why I brought it up before.
Buckle up, you guys. The last time we talked about this, there was a reading list.
All about gratitude.
Okay.
So that's what I ended on as I pulled into the
perfect.
The parking lot. And but he doesn't explain why the attitude of gratitude works, because for him at the time, they didn't really know about the frequency piece when he was writing this in 1910, or if they did, he didn't bring it into his context. So he's really saying there's things that always want to come from unmanifest into manifest, and the gateway for humans is thought.
Right.
But Bob Proctor will tell you, you think on a frequency. For me, that means you have to be the frequency first to think on it.
Yes.
Okay. But, you know, people will argue this.
Right.
But I'm just saying where my philosophical standing is.
I think your way is the easiest way to do it.
I agree. Right. But he also says you don't want to get rich for only physical things or only mental things or intellectual pursuits or spiritual endeavors. We're a holistic being. Right. So when you be on a frequency and the highest we can embody in the physical body, which we talked about last show, is gratitude. Right. That's when you're at your highest magnetic creative self, right? That's the pinnacle, the peak, what I call peak money consciousness, right? So just as a short refresher, when you're at a financial frequency, and you're always at a financial frequency, let's be clear, right? So if you're in a slow, dense financial frequency, what you're attracting is what's perceived by the human brain as lack, but it's an abundance of the unpreferred, because the universe only knows abundance.
Okay.
Right? Lack and scarcity is a human construct.
Right.
So then when you move up, for lack of a better term, of the scale of financial frequency, meaning you're getting more and more expansive, which also feels lighter. Like when I help people release what's keeping them in those slower, denser financial frequencies, they giggle, they feel lighter. The shackles have released for them, right? And things get really fun, which is also high vibe, because joy is right under gratitude on that frequency scale, right? But that's why Wallace D. Wattles devotes a whole chapter to gratitude in that, like, how important gratitude is in manifestation. That when he states, when you're in gratitude, you have an expectation of positive things unfolding.
Right. That makes sense.
So to me, you say it's weird that within 3 days you manifested the perfect, and it was already constructed and available and, not being used. And here, boom, snap of the fingers, right? But the snap of the fingers didn't happen until you cleared your ability to visualize and go beyond your limitations of the prior state.
Very true. That's exactly what happened. You're right.
But it's not weird. It's the way it works.
It's the way it works. Yeah.
But it's weird to those of us who don't experience it as the norm.
Right. Or like, I kind of feel like I experience it on the norm, but I'm not aware of it. I'm attributing it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Every time I do, like, the lifted project that I did.
Which is amazing.
Oh, thank you. But that was all just, I'm just going to go as big as I can, as big as I can.
And look at what happened.
And it went seamless. I mean, seamless. It was like it was preordained. And well, it was only afterwards that I'm like, well, wait a second. Did I make that? and so, like, part of it, I think, for me anyway, is just being aware, right?
I know what
you're saying intellectually, but I don't do it.
Right. Correct. So there is a difference between intellectually understanding how something works and the experience of it working.
Right.
Right. So that's what you're talking about.
Right.
That difference,
and,
right?
Right.
And that having that experience of how it works happen as the norm, right? Mm. Imagine if that's how you be on the regular.
Mm.
So that's describing what I'm human, right? So I'm not perfect in it, but I choose progress over perfection. So I'm in that state more often than I've ever been.
How do you get in that state the first time?
Like you did, okay, where even if it's unconscious and then you consciously recognize, ooh, that's what happened, then going forward, you're because of that faith and expectation now that that's the way it works, you are now looking for how it continues to work going forward. So as you continue to do that, right? And I know you do journaling and meditation, you know, first thing in the morning before most of us are out of our dreams. And right. So I do other devotional practices, which have actually gotten to the next level since our last conversation. Yes.
Ooh,
so we'll delve here. So my husband of 22 years has asked me repeatedly over that time, in fact, more than that time, 24 years he's been at it, to ask me, an evangelical Lutheran, to convert to Roman Catholicism.
Mm.
And he gave me a book I'm not going to remember who it was from. The last name is Hahn, H-A-H-N. And it's about their conversion. It's himself and his wife. He converted first and she came later from Protestantism. And I don't remember which branch of Protestantism. But it was very compelling. And what it explained to me was how similar to my own religious upbringing, beliefs, and practices that Roman Catholicism is. Catholic means universal, and I've always known that. So, you know, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, which is part of what I've always been saying.
Right.
For me, Catholic was not capitalized, and it just meant universal. For the Roman Catholics, it means all of us Christians are universal Christians. We're all in the same family, right?
Right.
And, the book is called Rome Sweet Home.
I wish I had like a bell, so every time you name a book, I
get to ding. I'll email you the list.
I bring the list.
And so it's just it, when I read that book, I realized that all of my last, close to, 24 years of spiritual practice, which has been away from the religious Christianity endeavors. And also in the last 9 years, I haven't been physically close to going to a church, meaning it's a drive and a commit, like a, even
it's
more
a
commitment
thing.
Than just running around the corner in Brooklyn, right? And all of my meditative and energetic work, right, in the frequencies, financial frequency, the, you know, all of that, states of consciousness, has just been a road to get me back to this Roman Catholic appreciation of spirituality.
Mm.
And actually, I did a so I am a subscriber to Mind Valley, and they always have these very interesting and entertaining teachers of, you know, the practical as well as the woo-woo or metaphysical, call it what you will. And one of those is Jeffrey Allen, and he has a course called Duality, and I ran through that. And then I see and it was really educational, confirming some of my own self-taught energetics, right? And then also adding just a few cool tools. And I'll tell you one of them, which is really, really interesting. But to this point, then I'm on Facebook and I'm scrolling, and one of the ads that comes through from Mind Valley is Jeffrey Allen, and he's talking about, well, you know, do religions talk about energy? And he's like, yeah. And he goes into a little snippet of that. And I'm like, totally. It's like, it was just confirmation that my own, you know, spirituality journey, if you will, had just kind of come full circle, which was stated in the book. And I didn't really identify with that until I finished the book, if that makes any sense.
It does.
Right. But it's – so now I've been doing the rosary for, at this point, over 30 days because that was a path that those two authors in the book took as well on their journey into converting to Roman Catholicism. And it's not – it's a devotion to the Virgin Mary, but it's not – it's a veneration of her. It's not – you know, they're not worshiping – her, which was always my interpretation. And there's a little church as you drive from town into where we live that we pass. It's this little parish, like rural parish church. And they have this statue of Mary. And I'm always saying, hi, Mother Mary, as I drive by, right? And so now this, you know, doing the rosary, which is a very interesting, it puts me in a meditative state when I do it. Like instantly.
Yeah.
And that's what it's designed to do. It's it's what I'm starting.
We Buddhists have those too.
Yes. When I'm start, what I'm starting to realize is that it's this way of mysticism, right? That has been my goal spiritually. I have always been attracted by the mysticism of things.
Right. Does doing the rosary make, I find practice like that makes you just stronger mentally.
Absolutely. You,
and then it's easier to practice the discipline of moving your energy because you're just mentally stronger.
Yeah. So I don't like to be dependent on physical things, right? I want to be able to like walk into the woods and do my devotion if I so desire, right? So I learned the rosary in those first 30 days and then
– we're both holding the cord the same way.
Yeah. Right. The same way you would count the beads, right? And then I realized that when you fold your hands in prayer, you can actually use your fingertips as the beads because they do it in a decade. So it's 10. Right. After the first three. And so, yeah. And then it's easy enough to know, like, are you in the first, second, third, whatever of the five decades? Right. But you don't need a rosary then. It's like it's in your hands. Right. Like, so it's a way of embodying that practice. Right.
Yeah.
So I just opened to that, you know, that mystic part of the practice. I don't think, I mean, for Catholics, absolutely it matters whether, you know, for Protestants, it doesn't matter what sect you are. For, you know, the other religions, even my husband at one point looked into, researched Judaism because he was searching for the purest representation in a religious form of that devotion to spirituality.
Right.
And then in his research, he discovered for himself, like, oh, no, it's actually Roman Catholicism.
Mm.
And so he's been asking me to come over there, but he knows Roman Catholicism. I'm coming around to it. And now I'm realizing, oh, it's not that different from what I was already doing, like believing, right?
Right.
And on top of it, it like brings in all of the other elements that I had kind of been amassing in my non-religious spiritual journey.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting, not expected at all, but that's the next level for me spiritually speaking.
Now, how does your spiritual work impact your job?
So what I find is that it is – so one of the tenets of the Money Realities and Realizations method that is my signature program is that, you know, you want to be or embody, right, that state of consciousness of gratitude all the time. Wallace D. Waddles just I was reminded – says, you know, you don't want to just pray every once in a while. You want to be in – like unceasing prayer.
Right.
Right. And he took that from the Bible. And so what this does is it reminds me to stay in that element of that every breath is a prayer, right? Every thought is an intention. So to be very, to live even more consciously.
Right.
Like
right.
That's what it's,
okay. That makes
that's
sense.
What it's been doing for me.
Would you, you kind of already do, but would you incorporate more of that as you evolve your practice?
Well, so it's – I already do. The next level of it is just doing it more, if you will, like doing it deeper, doing it
– because it, we talked about this a little bit the last mm-hmm. time. I think what you do is so powerful. It's great to apply it to money, but – It works for everything.
Right. I stay in my lane of money, right?
Right.
And with money –
would you ever get out of that? Would you ever say
– well, with money comes more meaning, more joy, more – like more everything, right?
Right.
Like the reason that I focus on money is because – so I think I mentioned this last time too – is that I celebrate resistance. There's a lot of money resistance out there, especially right. with very spiritual people.
Yes.
Right? And it's because we've been taught that we have to be spiritual, we have to choose poverty, or we have to do without. And that's, you know, there's something about honoring God relating to that, right? However, if you think about it, and this was also what was what I was listening to on the way here, is your innate, you know, divine nature, right, is always seeking expression out through you, right?
Right.
And to deny that expression, right, isn't that sinful? That's
right.
That's from the Science of Getting Rich and the program that I'm listening to with Wallace D. Waddles. So you're, because life is always seeking expression and always seeking more life, right?
Right.
So to deny more life, right, that's antithetical to honoring God, like that you have breath in this body and you're, and also serving humanity. If I don't express, and my field is money, right? So I will always be, and in fact, I just wrote an email that I'm an apologist for money, right? and an apologist for your listeners.
That might be a good next book for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. So
the money apologist.
It's very interesting, but that's my, like, I am all about the money, unapologetically so. I will stand on that wall. You can't push me off it. Like, that's just who I am.
Right.
And there's a reason for that, right? It's not, yes, I make it all about the money, but we don't want the money. We want what it enables us to be, do, and have. Without the money, what can we be, do, and have?
Right. I think we got tripped up with in religion because mm-hmm. we think going without money is a sacrifice. And there are things, there are areas, even in Christianity, there are areas where sacrifice is required. In fact, the whole act of redemption was because God sacrificed his son.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was the price he paid for
right,
our souls.
Right.
Right.
So I think we overinterpret that. And think we have to sacrifice.
And we apply it to everything.
Right. And it wasn't meant for everything.
Correct. It was right. very, very specific. In fact, so along with doing the rosary, so there's this app called Hallow. And when I first downloaded it, I had no idea that it was like Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. I'm like, oh, so they talk about meditation and whatever. Okay, so fine. And I had it on my phone literally for like a year before I started using it. And then interestingly enough, it all of a sudden was like, oh, it's the rosary. It's the daily Catholic readings.
It is,
it's the right. And so it was very interesting, just like you're like, this was sitting here for you to use, right? And it wasn't but until you said, oh, and made a decision. Same thing with the Hallow app on my phone.
Mm.
Very interesting, right?
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then
not
boom,
weird.
Not weird at all. But this is how it works. When you are ready, the teacher appears, that type of thing, right?
Right.
When you are ready, when you claim what you want. So here I was open now to read a book, and then that made me even more open to leverage the Halo app. And then in there, that was kind of the gateway into there are these daily readings. And I go back to way, way long ago. So at age 13, I called my mother a hypocrite because she was forcing me to go to Sunday school when she did not attend church.
Right.
And I'm like, you're a hypocrite. We had a whole debate about that. Mm-hmm. Age 13, right?
Did you win?
I don't know that anybody won, because what she closed down the argument with is, I have a personal relationship with God. And that was it. There was no further discussion. And I was like, all right, well, I'm working on my relationship with God by honoring the home right requirement that I go to Sunday school every week. But what bothered me even at age 13 was that there was just this one connection once a week on Sunday. And then, like, there was no other connection that I was being taught, right, to God, to prayer, to meditation, to any of that, to the mystic side of life. And what Halo has is the daily readings. And the last week was one about the, you know, it's easier for, you know, to go through, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get to heaven.
Right.
But that's often misunderstood. He wasn't saying you can't get to heaven if you're rich. He's saying if you're so attached to your riches.
Right.
It's the attachment, not the riches.
And I heard another interpretation. Okay. Of that. I heard it was a joke.
Interesting.
That culturally, that for the time and place, that was really funny. And, you know, when you speak publicly like Jesus did, you need a couple good one-liners.
Yeah.
So
you need some comedic relief.
Yeah. So one interpretation.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that.
I think I heard it. I did. I went to a Christian school and college, rather. And I think it was an Old Testament faith. It was New Testament faith. The professor said, no, that's funny. To them, that's funny. That's a line that's thrown in that the writer remembers because it was funny. It's saying don't be attached to money, but it's actually a joke.
Yeah. Well, and it must have been a joke because – not the attachment piece, but the money piece, because – if you think about it, right? So when if you believe that source with a capital S, God, right? The divine, cosmos, universe, however you conceive of that entity, is the source of all, then doesn't it make sense to honor that source, right? In tithing,
right?
Wherever that tithe goes, right? As long as it goes with a grateful heart,
right?
So again, giving with a grateful heart, you can't give with a grateful heart and be attached.
Right.
Right. So it, like, you know, it makes sense that it would be kind of levity, but also there's truth and humor as well. Right.
It's only funny. It's not funny if it's not true.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
What's next for you?
Well, what's next for me is that
– Plug the book, plug everything.
Yes, my second book is imminently coming out. I don't have a working title offhand for that, but the one that we just discussed might be it.
That's great.
That this podcast, this conversation might be the catalyst that within like 3 days I finish the book and it's published, right?
Wonderful.
Like, so yeah. I will come back and talk about
things
that.
Things happen in 3 days when you and I get together, so.
Yeah. And then the other thing is I'm expanding my collaboration. This year has been a very intentional, purposeful focus strategically on collaborating. Because, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go farther, go together.
Right.
So just like your Lifted project, like that, that is kind of my version of that is coming. That's what I'm focusing on. And like, so for example, I'm doing a LinkedIn Live this week. Somebody else was interested when I mentioned it and she said, oh, let's do one. So like those kinds of things of showcasing other colleagues and coaches and, you know, people who are not doing the money energetics, but they're doing very, you know, very good things out in the world. Right. One is a best-selling author, so I'm interviewing her on her book, right?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One is the best writer you've never heard of because she's a ghostwriter.
Ah. Excellent.
Right?
Not anymore.
So, right, not anymore. So that, right, that is next level coming out. And then and then on the heels of all of that, then one of my collaborations, which has been in the works since December, is it's called Mystic Money Energy Retreat.
Like that.
And that is, it's for women who want their next level of generational wealth, legacy, and generosity.
I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And impact. So it's, we're going to just take, you know, 15, it's going to be very intimate, 15 women who want that to go deep dive into a 5-day in-person retreat in the Sedona of the Northeast, which is Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Maybe Trish will go to that.
Ooh. I will share. My colleague is getting the sales page done. When I have it, I will send.
Yeah.
And
We just made a friend from Asheville, too. We could do
two. Great.
Yeah.
I have one of my clients in California. She's like, oh, because I mentioned the location of the retreat. And she's like, I'm going there just on, in fact, tomorrow she's going.
Oh, perfect.
And I said, awesome. You're going to, and as she said that, I said, there's something that you're going to shift because she just lost her mother. You're going to shift something very important when you're there. And she's like, I had no idea it was like spiritual. I'm like, yeah, it is totally.
I've heard it's, I've never
it been, is
I've
totally.
Singular place.
Yeah. And my husband, who normally doesn't let me go anywhere, has given me the blessing because we just got a new cat.
Yep.
So she is 4 months old. She's very, very, like, she wants to, she follows us around. She acts like a dog because that's how we're training her, right? So she comes. Right. She loves bacon. We don't give her too much. Don't worry. But she will do anything for a little piece of bacon. And she's got normal treats as well. But she's really very highly trainable, very intelligent. She's a mouser. She's very engaged and active. And yeah, so it's been a blessing. And, you know, the concern from my husband is, you know, I didn't want a cat. And now he's like, damn it. I can't have a cat because, you know, he's like totally into her. In fact, he was supposed to be watching her when I came here to tape this. But a friend who had been in the military is out and he had, you know, and been invited somewhere. And it's just for a couple hours. And I said, don't worry. We'll just put her in her normal room, which is my bathroom. So she's contained. It's big enough. Don't worry. And, you know, she gets fed at 1 o'clock. And so we have the automatic feeder, and he feels so guilty. He's like, oh, I just can't, you know. I'm like, she'll be fine. She'll absolutely be fine. She sleeps.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact. She sleeps the whole time because she's supposed to be sleeping, and she's just overactive. So it's good. She gets a break.
Congratulations on the next step in spirituality. That's fantastic. Congratulations on the collabs. That's fantastic. Congratulations on the cat. That's fantastic. Tell everybody how to keep up with you. If I want to find out more, where do I do?
Yep. It's SusanGlusica.com, and the link will be in the show notes. And you can reach out, and I offer everybody, I really invite you to do this. Get over whatever is keeping you from having a conversation with me, because 20 minutes, I will identify your biggest money block, and I can guarantee it's not what you think it is.
My ass is in a really big studio because I sat with you, so
we didn't even do the 20 minutes.
No, it was just
conversation.
So I'm grateful, and listener, it works.
Yeah.
You'll come back?
I will. I'm sorry, definitely come back.
All right, cool. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. This is fantastic.
No, I had a good time. Hey, we always have a good time.
Always a good time.
And I'm John. That's Susan. This is home from here. Thank you.
You are welcome. Oh, no, it's okay.
Really?